It is the return of the official catch-up podcast. I am your host, Ben Grant. I'm joined by my colleague, as ever, Mr. Chris Powell. How are you doing, Chris? What's happening?
Yeah, good, good. A lot to cover, obviously, because we've been off for so long. A lot of changes, even in the world over the last time we were on. Obviously, you became a father, Ben. How's things going there?
Yeah, I was the reason we weren't podcasting for the last 4 weeks, as Chris said, I have become a dad, and I was technically on paternity leave from the podcast. Chris is a good boss, and he allows me to have some paternity leave. So, yeah, it's all good. We're having a great time. My daughter Libby was born on the 6th of October, so I've been getting well used to the days and nights that comes of having a newborn child. But it's been great. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I go back to work tomorrow. This is Sunday as we're recording. I start a new job on Monday morning, so that's I don't do anything by halves at the moment. New baby, new job. Don't know what the third new thing is going to be, but certainly, keeping myself busy. I haven't missed any football, I must admit. I've managed to see all the football, and I'm not going to lie, I've been enjoying my football since for the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. I'm sure we'll cover off Cullen Rangers at some point, but the good times are back for us, I would say, and we're having a good time. So there's also a lot to talk about within the tiers of football we cover, the tiers 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9 across the Lowland League territory, region, whatever you want to call it. There'll be plenty to talk about, but we'll start where we always start, the Lowland League. That's probably our bread and butter for the podcast. I guess a lot been happening, Chris, in the Lowland League. We'll just kind of quickly run through where things are at. East Kilbride still sit top of the table, as they have done for the majority of the season. Cumbernauld Colts keeping pace, although they have played a few more games in hand, but certainly still up there at the moment in second place. Hearts B in third, Trinity in fourth, Bowness United in fifth, Linlithgow Rose 6th, Broomhill 7th, Civil Service Strollers 8th, Galloway Rovers 9th, Celtic B 10th, Cowdenbeath 11th, Cali Braves 12th, Stirling Uni 13th, Berwick 14th, Albion Rovers 15th, East Stirlingshire 16th, Gretna 17th, and Edinburgh Uni bottom of the table. Well, Chris, where should we start? We'll just go straight in and start at the top, East Kilbride.
Yeah, since I did watch the game against Braves yesterday, so interesting one.
You watched the game, or okay. Mm-hmm. So you got to see the free-flowing possession-based football that EK are playing at the moment. How did they look?
Yeah, free-flowing, brilliant football, but a lot of time, no end product. I think East Kilbride are on a wee bit of a patch at the moment. Obviously, a lot of people know they got beat 7-0 off of Trinity in the Scottish Cup. A lot of overjoyed people on Twitter, I noticed. It's never easy being the top dog when people are gunning for you, but certainly that's what East Kilbride are. But, Mick had mentioned that he saw it coming, and I think it's true, because if you look at the results against Berwick, I think they just got past Berwick, they got past a Linlithgow side that's been struggling with injuries and suspensions, and yeah, they're not as free-flowing as we saw earlier in the season, where they were, really, really on form. But I think they were lucky against the Braves, I must admit. I don't know if you saw the goal or no goal effort for the Braves. It looked, to me, at the time, it looked over the line, but it happened so fast. I hit the underside of the bar and came back out. So it's like, I don't know if the ref could have given it, but Braves were really good yesterday. I think the biggest change that I saw in East Kilbride, they went 1-0 down early into the second half, and Nathan Flanagan got switched from the left flank to the right, and that's when EK started to cook, because Nathan Flanagan, I think, has been their best player this season. I think he's been their best signing. So, and to kind of be the standout of that team, considering the quality of it, is says something about Nathan Flanagan being, he's probably one of the best players in the league, But really smart move by Mick. I noticed he says, I do know what I'm doing sometimes. So, yeah, certainly did there, because for the equaliser, Nathan's just, cutting from the right, putting his left foot and put the ball away. And he was part of the reason that EK got the penalty as well. I think he hit the ball straight at Jack McDowell, who had unfortunately had his hands up high, and you know, that's a penalty for handball, and it's been put away. And East Kilbride, I don't want to say they deserved the win, because I thought it was quite an even game, but certainly their quality shown through there, and I think that was this similar to the games against, you know, Berwick and Linlithgow. They've the sign of a good team. You don't necessarily play to your best, and you still get results. But I mean, the example of Berwick, obviously, we know that Berwick have somewhat been struggling lately because of the players that they've lost, for obviously the financial reasons. But I mean, the 1-0 that East Kilbride got over Berwick was, it wasn't long after, you know, Hearts B put, I think, six past Berwick. So, I mean, you would have expected East Kilbride to go down to Sheffield and really, really put the hurting on. But as what is, East Kilbride top. Look, they've been the best team in the league so far, I think it's safe to say, despite the Scottish Cup result. And but, you know, they've got a wee bit of an edge at the moment, because they aren't playing the greatest football that I've ever seen, compared to, as I say, compared to the start of the season when they're blown away teams. It's just not happening at the moment. But I think Si and obviously Mick are smart enough to change things up. And we saw that in the game against Cali Braves. Cali Braves, as I say, I think they've been all right lately. They've had a few players in the team of the month, obviously. And I think Braves have been all right. I think it's not shown in the position in the league. They've not really went up too much, but certainly they're out of the relegation zone, which is good for them. But yeah, I think they'll be disappointed with the result yesterday.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're talking about East Kilbride. I mean, we've talked about their quality in depth in this podcast over the last 2 or 3 months now. Certainly, we know what they're capable of. We know they're still unbeaten in the league. I think we mentioned the cup game. I know Mick said they've seen it coming, but nobody could foresee a 7-0 defeat.
No,
that wasn't anything that anyone expected. We know Trinette are a good side. That's no doubt about that. That Trinette are a quality
maybe not side. A 7-0, but I think a defeat might have
absolutely
been
clear. Yeah, a loss was probably the tough thing for probably East Kilbride, is that happened in the Scottish Cup, which then obviously that has a kind of knock-on effect for the team. But I just kind of wonder maybe if you know, Mick Gill did take an arrogance maybe creeping into his team. And I wonder maybe, did that maybe come from, I think, the Hamilton game, where they maybe went into that game thinking that Hamilton were beatable? I don't know. I'm just surmising really about the situation, because I think I looked at the Hamilton East Kilbride game in the SPFL Trust Trophy, whatever it's called, and I thought East Kilbride could take Hamilton. I hadn't realised that Hamilton hadn't lost a game this season either, so certainly thought maybe it's come from there. And then obviously they said the scrape by against the Linlithgow Rose, and they've obviously been absolutely thrashed by Trinette. But the thing about East Kilbride is we know their quality. They've got the games in hand, which, I mean, points on the board are important, but you know, you've got a long season ahead. Games in hand will be crucial to East Kilbride, and I guess Trinette are a bit further off the pace to East Kilbride. They've played one less game than EK, and they're something like, I think, 9 points behind East Kilbride at the moment. So come on, Alden Hearts B have both played 16, so plenty of football we've played in this league so far. The one thing we can, I think, worth talking about East Kilbride, and I'll probably get a bit of stick for this, but you look at the signings that East Kilbride have made, even in the short term, and what they can make, and probably what they can do in the next probably few months. I think I read somewhere in a group chat the other day that East Kilbride had made 26 signings since Mick and Si came in during the summer.
I honestly thought it would have been more than that, to be honest.
Yeah, so somebody actually listed the every single player. I think it was like 26 was the number. So that's a whole new squad and more. And then you look at that list on paper and you go like the signings they've made are unbelievable. There hasn't been a lot of movement going out the door. I think that's the thing that stands out for me, is that I understand they've obviously got some injury problems and things like that, and that's probably why they've made the signings, but certainly it's mad, and East Kilbride fans will probably get upset by saying this, but obviously the money is very apparent now at East Kilbride. they have the facilities to go and buy or bring in top company. They signed what Joao Baldi from Arbroath during the week, straight from the Championship and on loan. I don't imagine Arbroath are giving him away for free, for example. So they'll be having to pick up a good proportion of his wages, I'd expect, if not all of them. They have, as you say, loads of quality in that team. And yeah, I think EK will be fine. I still don't have any concerns about East Kilbride as a team at the moment. I think it's clear now that Mick and Si know what they're doing. Like you said, they have an idea of how they want to play, and maybe that's maybe to their detriment perhaps at some points. They always want to play this certain way, and they don't seem to maybe want to mix it up to if they get into a bit of a battle, a bit of a war of attrition, if you like. You're probably against a team like Trinent, who are a bit of a kind of hard working, tougher side rather than the kind of style of football that EK would play. It means that it might be a bit more harder and they get into difficult situations, but East Kilbride for me will be absolutely fine. In terms of Cali Braves, I think, doing well. I noticed we won 3 in a bounce up until a couple of weeks back, and we're 4 unbeaten going into yesterday's game. So, good form. The thing for a team like Cali Braves is staying out of that relegation spot. That's their goal. Like, let's not kid ourselves on. That's what a team like Cali Braves are. They're staying out of relegation and just trying to do what they can and see if they can mount a challenge and maybe get a cup run to go. But yeah, Cali Braves are doing well, and I think there's more to come from them too.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a partnership developing between Jack McDowell and Daniel Martins. The knock on Daniel Martins has been that he's maybe not the best defender on the ball, but he's no nonsense. He's kind of old-fashioned type thing. You know, John Guffrey's done really well. Seems to be playing all over the pitch for Cali Braves. A very, very sort of utility player, and probably doesn't get the credit he deserves for being a bit of a stopper and a breaker down the possession sort of thing. But I think you're right on what you say about East Kilbride. Don't know about too far into East Kilbride. Don't want to be the East Kilbride podcast, but it's funny because their goal came from a ball kind of over out wide to Nathan Flanagan, and that's not exactly how they were playing that game. So they tried something different and it worked, and you think to yourself, you know, you can be the best team in possession, but when you're out of possession and you know you're not playing the way you want to, you're not controlling the tempo, I think that's when East Kilbride struggle. And obviously when they played Trinent, you know, 3 goals I think in the first 20 minutes, you can't train for that. You can't train for being in that situation if you're East Kilbride, because I mean I don't imagine they have too many sort of training sessions where they're the underdogs, basically, you know what I mean, where they're doing these defensive things and whatnot. I would imagine that they train in a way that suits their style, but you've got to remember every game is different, and sometimes you'll not get that style that you want, and I think that's a warning for East Kilbride. One thing I will comment on, because it comes up, is just to finally round off East Kilbride, today marks the 7 years since East Kilbride beat Ajax's 44-year-long world record of consecutive wins. And every time I see that, I get a wee bit jealous, and I tell you why. It's because Ajax gave them 27 crates of Jupiler beer. And have you ever had Jupiler beer? It's a Belgian beer. The best beer I've ever tasted. I'm not a massive drinker now, but I don't think it's available in the UK. Yeah, it might be now, but I remember the first time I ever had that, I was in Bruges with my nana and my granddad, and I was just sort of kicking about Bruges, and I think the drinking age there is like younger. I'm trying to remember who I was going out with. I don't know if that's a concerning thing that I remember how old I was by who I was going out with, but I think I was 14 or 15 at the time, and I was at this kind of stall thing in Bruges, in the centre of Bruges. It was like a stall slash chip van, but without the motor, and I'm just there at this thing myself, buying these bottles of Jupiler or cans of Jupiler from this guy just constantly for half an hour or something. I think the drinking age is younger, it's like 16 or something, but I just remember that. It's the best beer I've ever tasted, I think. So if you can get your hands on Jupiler and you're a beer drinker, give it a try. But yeah, I always get a wee bit jealous when I see that coming up, that they've got 27 crates of that stuff. It was brilliant. Brilliant.
Maybe that's a clip for TikTok or something, that. How we digress from East Kilbride to Jupiler. Jupiler beer. Three things you never thought you would see in a football podcast for non-league football in Scotland. I'll tell you that first week. Never seen that coming. When he mentioned Ajax, I had absolutely no idea where he was going. And I was like, East Kilbride, Ajax? Okay, fair enough. So
it's on their Twitter anyway. Everyone should know that.
Very impressive, East Kilbride. And I'd say how you managed to link up East Kilbride and Ajax. I never knew that was possible. So there we go. Moving on then down, we'll go further down the table. Cumbernauld Colts, Chris, absolutely flying at the moment, you could say. I won one draw with Albion Rovers yesterday, certainly, but that's them, what, five unbeaten? Last time they lost was Broomhill in the Scottish Cup back in September. So Cumbernauld Colts started the season strongly. We talked to them. We thought they would probably fall away at some point. I think, I'll be honest, I think I said that in a few episodes back that I don't think they'll keep pace, but certainly we're in November now. They're sitting second and they're doing all the right things, beating the teams they're supposed to be beating. It's what I would say about Cumbernauld and just going about their job probably quite quietly, because EK probably grab all the headlines in this league at the moment, and Cumbernauld Colts just sitting there, just chilling. Probably a bit like Spartans last season. We talked about Spartans. We didn't really talk about an awful lot about them until pretty much they got close to the end and they won in the league. So, Cumbernauld Colts, very impressed with what they're doing at the moment.
They're a strange one because, obviously, Stephen O'Neill recently left their captain that had been there having since 2015, like the whole time they competed in the Lone League. I think the interesting thing about this, and I hope I'm not annoying anyone, but obviously Stephen O'Neill played as a trialist for Albion Rovers against Cumbernauld Colts, so I think there was a few concerned faces if he was to get a goal against his former club or whatever, but he never, thankfully, for Cumbernauld Colts. That would have been a tough one, obviously, and I don't know if he would have celebrated, but yes, it's a weird one because they're really hard to work out, because immediately, even before Stephen O'Neill left, I thought they're probably missing a centre mid to make that team a truly, truly good side. But then you look at it, and Graham Holmes isn't even starting for them. So it's like they've got one of the best keepers in the league in Ryan Adamson. They've got a goal scorer in Billy Mortimer. A lot of the younger players, obviously, Cammy Dixon, your Keelan Adams, your Luke McCarvels, they're all stepping up and playing great. And, you know, David, I think David Proctor has a good problem on his hands, because I don't think he wants to change things because it seems to be working, you know what I mean? Craig Holmes has been fantastic lately as well. So it's like, do you change it up even though you've got guys like Graham Holmes and before Stephen O'Neill sitting on the bench? I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, the players you expect to be starting can't get a look in. I think we mentioned, previously Ashley Ballam, who's done well, and he's not starting too. So, yeah, it's a good problem to have for Colts. I think I've mentioned it before, but yeah. I don't know why Stephen O'Neill left, but yeah, he certainly didn't seem like he was playing. So it's maybe just out of frustration out of that, basically, because he's always been their key man.
Yeah, I think we're coming out. I think the thing you think about there is, if it's not broke, don't fix it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, as I said, they won five unbeaten, four wins in the bounce, and then a draw yesterday, certainly. Difficult for them to be like, oh, I'm going to change this up, and because I said the only time that they've only lost two games in the last 10 matches or something like that, so
that's crazy.
They're brilliant, you know. And you can probably go deeper into the form. I'm only just looking at the last 10. There's probably a few more games there. The one we mentioned, how they started the season pretty strongly, and yeah, it's difficult. And I think For David Proctor, it's definitely a good problem to have, in the sense of you've got a full squad there to pick from, you've got talented players all over the pitch, and I think the other thing as well, if you've got them on the bench, they can come on and affect the game. If you are maybe having a bit of a struggle, I think you see that in a lot of teams, that the depth maybe not quite there, and that's probably why they're playing at this level, because you don't have the teams, that the players that can come on and change the game. Like we mentioned, East Kilbride, their squad, they've got a bench that's littered with players would walk into pretty much any team in the Lowland League. You know, that's the way they're set up, and Cumbernauld have that depth at the moment. Obviously, if injuries do kick in for Cumbernauld Colts, then it becomes a bit more of a problem. But certainly, doing great. Got the wins on the board. 10 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses. It's a decent record. We definitely didn't have Cumbernauld Colts in it. Probably in the top 6, 7, 8, maybe even top 10 of the league at this in the start of the season when we spoke. We need to go back and check what we thought of our predictions, but certainly we never had them sitting anywhere near the top of the table. So, yeah, got a lot of respect for it and doing good things. Next up, Hearts B. Again, started off pretty well, sitting at the top, lost to Stirling Uni, which is probably a bit of a shock given where Stirling Uni are at in their season with their squad and things like that, and maybe not the team that we know. Talking about Stirling Uni at the moment, and our team who are kind of winning streak as well, so maybe getting onto a bit of a rhythm. But Hearts B, no secret. I know, Chris, you had something to talk about when it comes to Hearts B. There was a bit of a comment that upset you in terms of B teams. I think you were getting a wee bit upset about teams maybe playing weekend sides or something, you know. I think that upset you a little bit on social media.
It didn't upset me, but I had to call it out because it wasn't true, the points that were given. And it was John Miller, the assistant manager from the Loughborough Rose, who drew 1-1 with Cowdenbeath, just to quickly cover that off. And one thing I will say, though, is wish Greg Skinner a speedy recovery. He had a reported leg break during that game, and hopefully he's okay, and wish him a speedy recovery and everything. But yeah, it was a strange comment. I said I think it was one of frustration because they had just played Celtic midweek, and as I mentioned about Linlithgow Rose, they had they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of suspensions. I think they've had a few sending offs even since August. I think it's five or six maybe in the last wee while, so that has been a lot. But yeah, John Miller's comment, the thing about Hearts B, you mentioned the Hearts B side that played Stirling Uni, it was just the wrong information. Gordon Heard, the Linlithgow manager, cleared that up and said that he saw the under-18s lineup who were playing the same day. It was just a mistake of the lineup because the Twitter posts like the women's and the youth lineup. Yeah. So it was just a mistake in that one. What he mentioned about Celtic, however, I mean, I'm guessing if you look at the team that played Edinburgh Uni yesterday and the one that played Loughborough Rose midweek, it is a lot different. Obviously, Rocco Vatter is not playing, Mackenzie Kearse isn't playing. But one thing I will say is the likes of Mackenzie Kearse and Rocco Vatter, before they played Linlithgow, were on international duty, with Republic of Ireland under-19s, the Scotland under-19s. So whether they would have played the games before then, I'm not really sure. But I think the only massive example I can find is Celtic were playing in the UEFA youth competitions, and I think they had East Stirlingshire. And East Stirlingshire, they faced a really weakened Celtic side, I'm guessing because of the UEFA competition. But I don't think there's massive examples with Celtic. Certainly not with Hearts. Hearts have been a team that I think have been fairly consistent. The only example I can think is when Mackenzie Kirk was involved in the first team. So, I don't know if the argument really carries as much weight as it has. It did, the last couple of seasons when it was clear that it was going on. Where Owen Moffat, for example, was out the Celtic side for two games, then they suddenly play Spartans, Owen Moffat and whoever else is back in the side.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure on John Miller's point. I as I say, I think it's one out of frustration because of the way Linlithgow have things have went for them recently. And couldn't be for it was a I think it was more of a disappointing game in terms for Cowdenbeath, because I fully expected Cowdenbeath to win that, and they didn't. They drew. Obviously, they played each other recently in the cup, and Cowdenbeath, won eventually, I think, in extra time. But yeah, as for Hearts B, they have been flying. Going back to Hearts B there, Mackenzie Kirk has been scoring goals for fun. Stirling Uni done really well, to keep them out. I think the only difference in that game was the penalty. Kieran McAkinch has put it away and gave them the win. Really good win for Stirling Uni against the Hearts B that's been flying. But in terms of the game, I don't think there was much to talk about. I think two teams cancelling each other out. For the penalty, I did see the incident, and it's very unclear to why the ref gave the penalty. There's two kind of things in the box where, like, it was two Hearts B players and two Stirling Uni players, so I don't know. I can't see the foul, basically, but I don't know. It's very hard to see the foul, and because of there's like two comments together, basically. So it's probably in there somewhere. I'm just, from my point of view, I can't see the foul. So, but yeah, a good one for Stirling Uni, nonetheless. They've done really well, and we shout out to Jake Service as well, who's came back. He's a big player for Stirling Uni. I think he's been missing the last couple of weeks through injury. So yeah, Stirling Uni, I think Chris will be delighted to get the win there on Ainslie Park on Friday night.
Yeah, they're a team that I would say that are, see, starting to build. I think they've got a few wins in the bounce now, three wins on the trot, that is. We know they had a slow start, but that probably comes down to the new squad, the turnover of players. They lost some really capable players over the summer. We've talked about it plenty on this podcast. You mentioned Kieran McInnish. I think he's a great player. I've seen him in a pre-season friendly. I thought he was really good. Watched him in the cup game as well against Albion Rovers, and I thought he's a really very decent player for Stirling Uni. You mentioned Jake Service. I've got a lot of time for Jake Service. I think I've seen him a couple of games now, and he makes a big difference, I think, to their defensive lineup as well, which probably may have been the difference. I think they've got the capable individuals, and it's one of those ones, and just trying to fill those gaps, the guys that have essentially left, and that's what they're doing. And you're probably finding it's maybe took a wee bit longer to gel, and they're getting to that point now where they're gelling.
There are two players that you mentioned there that have came on leaps and bounds since, you know, being in the league. Obviously Kieran was formerly East Kilbride.
Amazing.
And it's what you expect from Stirling Uni, obviously. I think we have to give a big shout out to the keeper as well, Jan, who I think there was a few doubts, obviously, because Ben Fry was such a solid keeper. Jan's came into the team as first choice. A big step up, really, from being kind of back up to Ben when he was there. But he's been fantastic. Really good. I think Ben McIver Redwood, another one that I've noticed, he's a different player compared to his previous years at uni in terms of his ability and his wee runs. I think Chris has obviously been a striker himself. I mean, I'm sure he works with that with, you know, the likes of Cammy McKinley and Ben. But Stirling Uni, I think they're probably one similar to Hearts B last season, where the quality of that team's probably not shown so much in the league's state standings so far. But I think they'll push on now and hopefully, you know, get to the top half. Or 10th, which is their favourite position, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. Not far away, they are sitting 13th just now, that's for sure. Chris, when you mentioned Cowdenbeath, I obviously saw them a couple of weeks ago in the Scottish Cup against ourselves. We lost 1-0 to Cowdenbeath in the Scottish Cup, as I say. They scored with 10 minutes to play with a pretty slack back pass from one of our players that got Mikey Cunningham in goal and got the goal, but I honestly thought Cowdenbeath were bang average as a team. I expected a lot more from Cowdenbeath. They've got some good individual players. I think Aidan McLaughlin stood out for me as a player, and Robbie McNabb looked really good in terms of individuals. But I think as a team, didn't really see much. I mean, we weren't brilliant, I'm not going to lie, on the day, but I just don't think they were that good. And I just felt, the other thing I felt about Cowdenbeath as a club, and this is probably going to come back to haunt me, but I felt like they still had that arrogance of being a big club, you know, like they were, like which they were. They're not anymore. They're only a couple of divisions between us and them now. And I just felt the whole, it was pretty poor. I just didn't really enjoy the experience that we had in the cup game. We put on some good stuff and we treated them well, and it just didn't feel like it was there was something funny about how the whole setup in Cowdenbeath, and I didn't think there were any great shakes, and it doesn't shock me that the only one they've had in the last four games is against us in the Scottish Cup, you know. So Cowdenbeath got a lot of work to do, I think, if they're going to be that big club that they think they are, certainly.
Yeah, like I mentioned, obviously, I thought they would beat Linlithgow. And it's disappointing to hear that because the Kenbeef fans that I speak to and I've seen their games and stuff, they are obviously a passionate bunch like every other football fan. So, yeah, disappointed to hear that. I've never really seen...
I'll jump in there just on the fans. I thought they travelled in good numbers with good voice and they were...
You think it was more from a player side, is what you're trying to say?
Just probably more, I would say, club side of things. I think I don't know specifically like player, like specific. Just a club feeling. It's what the feeling I got off of the people I interacted with, certainly, and certainly that was the kind of.
You must get that from a few of the bigger junior clubs as well, because I've certainly seen that where you know you're no.
Not personally, because I think we are probably at a big junior club in the open stakes of junior football. So, and maybe I go to clubs and I act like that. I don't know, and I hope I don't. But I just felt it was a wee bit. I felt it was a bit off. For a big occasion, Scottish Cup tie. I just felt it was a bit off. We are playing the same park and the same competition, the same round, and there just was a whiff of. Just a whiff of arrogance I didn't really like. But yeah, the other thing as well, they beat us 1-0, as I say, with a scrappy gift of a goal, and they celebrated like they'd beaten fucking Rangers. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like jumping about and running to get photographs with all the fans, and I get they travelled and all that, but I was like, we were the underdogs in that game. I think the bookies had us something like 5-1 or something like that, 6-1 to 1. And for me, it wasn't that wide of a gap when it comes to the odds, you know. But there's obviously two leagues below. We're two leagues below at the moment. But the gap in terms of football and the ability wasn't there at all. And that's what these teams are probably forgetting, that the likes of West Prem, West First Division teams, East Prem teams, some maybe East First teams are not a million miles away from the likes of Cowdenbeath, and we've got Albion Rovers in a few weeks in the South Challenge Cup, so it'll be interesting to see what they're like in that competition. But the thing will be is that I think I made a comment on Pine Bovell the other week. I dipped my toe back in there for a few weeks back, I know I was in a kind of I'll blame being on paternity, even having maybe a little bit too much time in my hands between feeding and things like that. I was reading Pine Bovell when I saw a few comments about Cowdenbeath, and I made a comment about them being like the type of club that are kind of the gatekeepers of the Lowland League, and the fact that we don't have the ventilation that we always want. And that's probably why, because you probably look at a match like that and go like that, oh, Cowdenbeath versus Cowdenbeath, not that far apart. We don't want these teams coming up and ruining our Lowland League. And that's probably the reason why these teams are voting against having increased relegation promotion, to protect themselves, the absolute self-preservation that we always talk about. But the gap between, I say, Lowland League sides, Premier League teams and First Division teams, it's not a million miles away, and that was very, very apparent on last Saturday. Moving on then, we will cover off a couple more teams. I'm not going to go through the whole...
We won't have another month break or whatever.
The catch-up is back. We're basically just catching up the catch-up, as the saying goes, and we'll be back to normality on... I'll record on Sundays or Mondays, and we get out for you as quick as we can. But I guess I want to talk about Chris Berwick, new management team in place there.
Yeah, obviously Stuart Malcolm left to join our broth, Dick Campbell. I mean, you would jump at the chance to work with Dick Campbell. I've spoken to him. I spoke to him during the Celtic playoff game years ago, and he's such a character, Dick. He knows his football. Even just having a... I think I was sitting beside him for a half, and I'm talking right beside him almost. So we're just chatting football and that. Dick's such a character and certainly knows his stuff. And, you know, I think it would have been a hard decision for Stuart to leave Berwick, because you know that he's got his... I think he felt a lot of passion for that club, but I certainly got that, you know, with the statement when he left. But yeah, to work with Dick Campbell, who I think he was a player of Dick's as well. So it's like, yeah, you have to jump at that chance. And yeah, Tam Scobie took over his first management gig. I know Tam from from Kelty, and really happy for him to take over there. And I believe his first game in charge, obviously 2-2 against Trenent. I heard Trenent might have got away with one there. Berwick were leading for the longest time, 2-0, and you know, Trenent get the equaliser late on, and then I believe it looked like they were out of it from what I heard. I saw on Twitter someone left it 2-0 because if he was that confident that Berwick were going to get the win, and he's at the park, and it's suddenly 2-2 or whatever, you know, that old football cliche. So, but yeah, there was a lot of unhappiness, I would say, about the amount of time the ref played on, which allowed Trenent to get the equaliser, you know, last kick of the ball. It's a massive point for Trenent from a losing position. Yeah, for Berwick, it'll be disappointing not to get the win, because obviously, from all accounts, it seemed like they certainly deserved the win, but they're coming up against a really good Trenent side. Tam Scobie will be interesting. I know he's always been keen on coaching and management, so hopefully he can do something with Berwick. We obviously know what the predicament is there. We're having lost a few players. Obviously, not the same players that were initially, on the, you know, we need these guys out of the club sort of thing. They have managed to keep, you know, like say Callum Andale, for example. So there are still bits and bobs there for Berwick to work with, but I'm not really expecting too much of them.
Berwick sitting currently in 14th position in the table. We'll look at the bottom of the Lowland League at the moment. As we mentioned earlier, Albion overset 15th on 15 points, East Lancashire on 13 points, Greta on 6 points, and Edinburgh Uni on 4. Edinburgh Uni got their first win of the season against Greta. It was 3-2. Greta already had a win on the board, so they had some points on the board. The gap obviously been quite close, but Greta getting a fantastic result on Saturday against Broomhill. I mean, a very good Broomhill side. I think they come off a win against Beath last week in the Scottish Cup, and we know how good Beath are. We don't need to go into mega detail about them, and for them to get a result against a team that were unbeaten in God knows how long by that point, for getting to then turn up and take on Broomhill at Radio Park and getting a win and a clean sheet, I think, for getting a very impressive.
Well, they could have crumbled. We often talk about, you know, the how important the games are between the bottom two sides, Edinburgh Uni and Gretna currently, but they could have crumbled after that, and the heads could have went down after losing to Edinburgh Uni, saying kind of, oh, that was our best chance to get out of this position. But they've came back and got a fantastic result against a Broomhill team that are really solid on their day as well. You know, I don't think there was much to the game from what I saw Mike post. I think it was one that it's probably maybe hard on the eyes for the Broomhill fans, you know. Not much moments of quality, but one guy we'll talk about is obviously Ian Anderson. He seems to be scoring goals for Gretna now, and it's one thing you need if you're, you know, fighting for your lives, a goal scorer. But for me, I'm really happy for Gills, Brian Gilfillan, the Gretna manager. He looked overjoyed at the win, and for me, it's been coming. I think we mentioned it. They have been playing a lot better, and hopefully they just don't rely on this one win, and hopefully they can get a few more results under their belts. As the Germans say, Verstagen auf, that means we're going up, and hopefully they stay up, basically. But Edinburgh Uni, more concerning for them now, isn't it? Getting have been bottom of the league for the longest time now. They're out of that position, and they'll be hoping to stay out there. Now it's up to Edinburgh Uni to bounce back and try and get themselves out of that predicament.
Yeah, from Gretna's perspective, I think they have to go in some sort of run, or they have to go and try and get some sort of form in place to pull themselves out there. We think we mentioned it back in August when they beat Civil 2-1. They really got to go and build that. They then went on a 9-game losing streak until Saturday there. So I think it's all great getting the win. You got to applaud the victory on the day. As I say, Broomhill are no mugs and are a good side. They're in the top half of this division for a reason. So yeah, they just have to go now and get some wins on the board. They've got Stirling Uni coming up, and then it's kind of Hearts B, Linlithgow Rose, Bowness, East Kilbride. So not an easy run of fixtures coming up for Gretna, but if they can perhaps get something out of Stirling Uni, because we've talked with them obviously already, they're not the same side of the way, so they might be able to get some sort of result perhaps. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for Gretna, just to try and get a gap, because there is a gap now between them and East Stirlingshire. It looks like I expect a two-horse race at the bottom, and like you say, the critical games are going to be those ones between each side, and Edinburgh Uni have got to come out on top in the last game, so certainly would think that it's going to be crucial for the future ones between the two sides. That pretty much covers off the Lowland League. We'll move on to some of the other divisions or leagues that we talk about across the football pyramid, and we'll jump across to the east of Scotland and just look and see what's happening over there. Broxbourne still sitting top of the table on 34 points, and a bit of a gap now forming. We were kind of talking about how it was quite wide open, Chris, in the league the last time with the podcast. Certainly Gene Field sitting second on 26 points with two games in hand. Musselburgh also on 26 points in third. And then Sockey on 25. So, yeah, a wee bit of a gap. Obviously, a couple of games in hand for Gene Field. Down at the bottom, Lincarty, Glenrothes and Canoe all sit in the relegation spots, with Inverkeithen, Hillfield, Swift sitting just above them, 5 points clear of Lincarty, who've got a couple of games in hand. But Broxbourne sitting top, Chris, look good for the top of the table position at the moment.
They've been very impressive. Broxbourne got to see Robert Watt, who moved from Pennycook to Broxbourne's been a fantastic signing. He's kept a lot of clean sheets for them. He's a top quality keeper in that league, and I often see Bob Watt, clean sheet, and I've seen it more often. So Broxbourne, I've been they've always been a kind of there or thereabouts team, but I would not have expected them to be the top team. We often talk maybe unfairly, probably. We often maybe look at Genefield, we look at Musselburgh, perhaps even Sockey, who I must say have been on a somewhat of a resurgence lately.
Yep, absolutely.
They got beat 4-1 off of Genefield yesterday, which is obviously going to be disappointing. But but fair play to Sockey, they've came back somehow after a really poor start. But I think
7 wins before that was in the league.
Genefield are firing. Obviously, we know that they absolutely decimated Elgin City in the Scottish Cup, so they'll be on a high there. And Genefield have a really quality side. Let's face it. Sockey have obviously made improvements. They've signed a few guys with higher league experience too, so they're looking to really push now. But that's a disappointing result against Genefield. But yeah. One thing, we'll have to give a shout out to Doogie at Pennycook for his fantastic drone view of Scott Taylor McKenzie's equaliser for Pennycook against Haddington. So fantastic. Yeah, Doogie does a fantastic media job for Pennycook. One of the best in the league, I would say. Very innovative. Good to see Scotty T getting a trademark left footer ping, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But fantastic for Pennycook. They're looking okay, Pennycook. I think we talked, they've had some troubles, obviously, since the start of the season with new management, new team. But they're pulling off results here and there. I'm not really expecting too much off them. Musselburgh's done well. I think they beat Dunbar as well, and Dunbar have been pretty decent. So
moving on to the first division in the east of Scotland, it's Whitburn are sitting top on 27 points. Dunipace are on 25 and Camelin on 24 with St Andrews United and Newton Green Star on 24. Then a gap appears to Blackburn United in 6th. Down the bottom is Leith Athletic on 11 points, Oakley United on 4 and Vale of Leithen on 0. Unsurprisingly for Vale of Leithen, they seem to be wherever they are, they end up with 0 points. Maybe their new name, Vale of Leithen, 0 points. Nah, I'm joking. But yeah, looking at the top of the table, it's very close up top, Chris. Whitburn Dunipace yesterday, a good game by all accounts.
Yeah, Sam Colley got the goal for Dunipace quite early on, and from all reports, it just ended in absolute chaos towards the end. Any pace lead in, I believe their physio was punched allegedly from the
match
Whitburn player.
Match abandoned, yeah.
Match abandoned. There was an injury to, I think it was Burn keeper, not long after that, but it seems like it's all kicked off there between the, I've been to Whitburn actually many years ago, but it's not, you know, it's quite a old-fashioned sort of junior ground where Dunny Pace is, you know, one of my favourite grounds, I think, in the east of Scotland. So it's two teams that are really going at it in terms of challenging each other, and I think it's just overflowing with whatever towards the end of the game there, I guess. And but one thing I will say, I know I've been guilty of it myself, you know, the old Scottish football ha 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 type thing. But I mean, come on, why are you hitting a physio? Between players, it's not, I wouldn't say it's acceptable between players, but you can kind of understand that they're in the game together. But if that's happened, it's totally unacceptable.
I'd be interested to know more circumstances around it. I've not seen an awful lot of detail around it, but no. What has happened in the lead up to someone punching a physio? That just seems like a mad state of affairs to happen, as you say, in any division or any football match. But yeah, very, very odd. But we'll keep an eye on maybe more detail up here.
We'll need to know what the result is there. I'm assuming because it's been abandoned in injury time.
It'll probably stand, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine so. And yeah, it's just look forward to the return leg, I guess, in that one.
Right, moving on to the second division then, just quickly. Bowness Athletic sit top with 30 points. Armadale Thistle sit on 26. Stirling Uni Reserve sit on 24. And down at the bottom, it's Newborough on 7. Ormiston Primrose on 6 and Tweedmouth Rangers on 3. Bowness Athletic don't look like they're suffering for the losses of their talented triple threat strike force from last season.
Oh, they keep ploughing on. The biggest shock for me actually in that league was how well Stirling Uni are doing. We often talk about the senior side, I guess what we call the senior side in the loans, but I was talking to Chris actually through DMs recently, and I said that to him. I'm like, I didn't realise how good the East of Scotland boys were going. And they played Armadale yesterday, and unfortunately, you know, for them, you know, they lost 3-1. But Armadale have made a lot of improvements recently. They've brought in a lot of sort of Premiership East of Scotland type players. Obviously, Adam Uphill coming from Hill of Beef. Aaron Ramage is now at Armadale, who was like a former Falkirk youth striker, and I believe. You know, Jack Sayers is on loan from Broxburn. So, yeah, they're definitely looking to try and push Bowness for that league. But, yeah, fair play to the Uni boys. I did ask Chris, I was like, how far do you think the East of Scotland team can get? Because how stressed would he be if he could, you know, he had a lone league team and an East of Scotland Prem team if they got back-to-back promotions or something like that? You know, it would have been mad. Even at the first division, I think it would be a bit more difficult to where they are now in the second. So, yeah, more stress for Chris coming if the boys can get promoted from the second division there. But, yeah, fair play to Uni. We don't often mention them. We always focus on the Lowland League team. But, yeah, great job. Unfortunate for the result yesterday, but Armadale are, you know, a contender in that league. Very, very strong. Yeah.
Moving on then to the third division in East of Scotland, we'll cover that off just quickly. Bathgate Thistle are sitting top on 31, Hart Hill Royal on 25, Hoyt Royal Albert on 22, and down at the bottom it is Linton Hotspur on 3 and Livingston United on 2. I'm going to jump in here. I've got a few comments I can make on this one. Firstly, Hart Hill Royal, a team that were in the West of Scotland for a season and switched back to the East of Scotland, I think it was. I think they've been kind of flip-flopping about in their back end. Sitting, obviously, second in the promotion spots and in good shape there. And went there on a pre-season friendly a couple of years back, and it was interesting ground, but certainly very welcoming and really enjoyed the game up there. We played Hoyt Royal Albert in the South Champs Cup last round, and I think absolutely... you could see they had quality. They looked like they're well organised as a team by the management staff, and they obviously, in terms of difference in quality from ourselves to Hoyt Royal Albert, you could see there was a gap, but you could also tell the quality they had and individually, and they looked like they were well set up. And on the flip side to what I mentioned about Cowdenbeath, they were very, very nice, very friendly, and a good bunch of committee and players and staff and things like that that came along and attended the game. So, yeah, got a lot of time for what Royal Albert are doing, and I'll be keeping an eye on what they're up to over the course of the season.
Yeah, Kenny Aitchison's done a fantastic job. A wee shout out to him. I noticed BJ Coyer, the Heriot Watt manager, tweeted out to him earlier saying, you know, we might keep up the good work, but I miss you, basically, sort of thing. So, Kenny's I've got a lot of time for Kenny, and you know, well done. And one thing, probably a bit of an omen for Monday, but Hart Hill, obviously, they had their badges a bit like Chelsea's, and they beat Linton Hotspur, so I didn't like that too much. I don't know if you've noticed Hart Hill's badges kind of similar to Chelsea's.
And yeah.
I do keep up with Linton, obviously, our second favourite Hotspur side, depending on the result on Monday, I guess.
Hey, it's all right. Ange Ball's going well, Chris. We're all happy, surely, as Spurs fans. We've got to be...
You know, it's weird, actually. I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast, but I often talk about Spurs. We're both Spurs fans. But I actually hate playing Chelsea. I mean, I'm more nervous for the Chelsea game than I am Arsenal. Because
Well,
Chelsea have a better record against us, mostly. So I'm often more nervous... because obviously I dislike Chelsea too. I used to go out with a girl that's a Chelsea fan, so I'm sure I'll need to give her abuse if we beat them. And she's always had, you know, I think when we were going out, she always had one up over me on that account. So, it's not good.
Moving on then to the South Scotland League, and it's just sitting top on 26, Preetown on 23, Dalby to start on 22, and Nithsdale Wanderers on 21. And down at the bottom, Wigtown Badenoch on 4, Upper Andale on 4, Lochmaben on 4, and St Cuthbert's Wanderers on 0. Newton Stewart, probably, I would say, the surprise package at the top of the table at the moment, Chris, but it's very tight. Creetown and Dalby Stars got some games, and certainly, but Newton Stewart, top of the table, only lost once so far this season.
They're doing fantastically well. I noticed that they congratulated Gretna on their win, obviously, you know, football friends type stuff.
Football friends.
One thing we'll have to say, obviously, mentioned Dalbeattie is Dean Watson. We, you know, on a very unfortunate sort of traffic collision. He was walking down the road and he's been hit by a car, I guess. And he's, I believe, from the report I read in the BBC News or whatever it was, he's in critical but stable condition. So I'm really hoping, he's going to pull through and be okay. Thoughts are obviously with everyone at Gretna and his current club, Dalbeattie, being a former Gretna player and Queen of the South. And it's a sad situation. There's a few instances since we've done this podcast that we've had to, you know, we've had to deal with these sort of things, not so much in Dean's, but, you know, sad situations, I would say. And that's certainly one, and I just hope that Dean pulls through because he's a fantastic young footballer. Whether he'll play again or what the situation is, we don't know that currently. I think his health is more important than football. I think we've often said that, Ben. I just hope that he pulls through from the current situation. And, very, very sad. Sad note on the podcast, I guess.
Yes, a shame. I didn't realise he was still in a critical condition. So I would say, yeah, absolutely echo that comment from Chris and hope he gets on okay. I think elsewhere in that division, it's probably no great shock that St Cuthbert's Wanderers are sitting bottom of the table. They have obviously struggled for a number of years. I think they had a kind of bit of a wonder season under Jordan Williams, and we've talked about Jordan plenty of times. We're still bringing up his name, but they were obviously won the league and in the playoff a few seasons back, but just don't seem to be able to get a grip on things. The other thing you mentioned, I think in terms of South of Scotland, Mid Annandale, Chris. Gary O'Hanlon, EK Thistle, former manager, took up the reins at Mid Annandale.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, actually. Obviously, I think I wished Gary all the best at the time when it was announced that he took the job. I'm not actually sure how it works out, if he's just sort of, you know, if he's just decided to, he wants back in management again. Obviously, we know the issues with East Kilbride Thistle. We mentioned them on the podcast, hearsay and whatnot. We don't know the exact full story, but certainly you know, from what we heard and what we said, I think at the time, going by probably more so hearsay and obviously Gary's reaction, where he was kind of pushed out of the club, or I think the word was snaked out of the club, I guess. But yeah, it's good to see him back in management. It is a bit of a, I'm unsure on the move in terms of, for Gary himself, in terms of travel and whatnot. I'm not 100% sure where he's based. I'm guessing he's more West based than this kind of, you know, Dumfries and Galloway. But yeah, a very interesting move. I'll be interested to see the type of player he brings, whether it'll be kind of more local players or whether he's going to, you know, look at possibly the West, you know, and bring in a few guys from the leagues there. But yeah, I'm unsure on that one to begin with, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if he's probably, if he has his school by base, perhaps, I'm not too sure, but it's just a short journey down the down the motorway, isn't it? It's not too far.
Oh, it's not very, it's not very far. No, okay, I didn't know.
So I don't think it's as, maybe as far if you're in that kind of Lanarkshire kind of region of the world, maybe. But yeah, I guess for Gary, it's getting into a job, and perhaps it's one of those ones, it's like a project where if you look at it and you can do well, you can either take Mid Andy out at the top of the south and perhaps do something good and then perhaps get back into a job in the Prem. Because as you see, you probably find that maybe his reputation perhaps tarnished a little bit from what you know happened at East Kilbride. I'm not too sure, but maybe that's why maybe he'd been trying to get into West of Scotland clubs, but there's obviously the rumour mill can be like and people talk and all that kind of thing, and it's good
just as you were talking there, Ben, I was remembering about all the carry on that went on with the Twitter and everything like that.
Yeah, there was a lot happened, and when they broke up, you know, it was like it was like scorned lovers almost at, when Gary left. So there's maybe just a bit of kind of blowback from that scenario that has meant he's not been able to get back in somewhere else in the West, and he's took an opportunity and best of luck to him, because yeah, I think it's an interesting one that we'll keep in top of and keep an eye on what's going on, and certainly in the South, because we don't see an awful lot what happens in the South, so we'll do our best to keep tabs on that front. Moving on to the one you've all been waiting for, the West of Scotland Premier League, the West of Scotland Football League, rather I should say. We'll cover off probably all the divisions as quickly as probably we can. Plenty to talk about at the moment in the different divisions, but we'll start in the Premier League. It's Clydebank sitting top of the table on 26, Beath on 19 with 4 games in hand, Pollock on 18 with 3 games in hand, Benburb sitting fourth on 18, Darvel on 17, Dartcairn on 16, St Cadoc's on 15, Hurlford also in 15 alongside Largs, Cumnock are sitting in 10th on 12, Trunnion on 11th, with 12 points also. Auchinleck Talbot are 12th with 11 points. Athlone 13th with 11 points. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy 14th with 11 points. Glenafton and Irvine Meadow are 15th and 16th respectively with 8 points. We'll start there at the top of the table. Clydebank sitting on top, and they are in fine form at the moment. They had a good result yesterday against Beath, winning 3-0. Beath, obviously, I mentioned earlier, they're a great side coming off a defeat to Broomhill. But it just shows you what it's taken to beat Beath. I think that's the thing. A good Clydebank side, a good Broomhill side to beat last year's champions. But yeah, Clydebank, Chris, they look like a good side. And I think a side we talked about quite a lot at the start of the season.
Yeah, I believe there was a wee bit of needle going into that game. I think obviously they played each other recently in the Cup, and I think Beath were winners on that day. And I think there was maybe some overzealous Beef players or whatever. I did read that somewhere, obviously. So
celebrating, that's right. Yeah, I remember that now.
There was a wee bit of needle in Clyde, obviously. I think Lee Gallagher, it's a bit of a trademark for him now, isn't it? Scoring free kicks.
Left peg, isn't it?
Yeah, he opened the scoring, obviously, and Nicky Lowe, who have... I don't think we've talked loads about recently, but Nicky Lowe's missus had a daughter on Thursday, and he's went up and scored against the league champions on Saturday. So congratulations to him and the family, obviously. Nicky's a top guy. So, but yeah, he scored an absolute peach in that game as well. Aaron Mason, I believe, got sent off towards the end of the game, I think the 70th minute or something for Beeve. So Beeve were completely out of that by then, you know, going down to 10 men. And I think Lee Gallagher's then, you know, hit the winner as well. So Clyde Bank, fantastic win against, let's face it, a really good Beeve junior side. We've talked up Beeve quite a lot. I've often thought that, you know, they're the best team in the west of Scotland. But Clyde Bank have shown up there and done fantastically well. Yeah, there's one, you know, when I think when we talked about, I guess, the preview, I think there was three teams we mentioned, obviously Beeve, Clyde Bank and Pollock, I guess. And there wasn't much separating Clyde Bank and Beeve. For me, I think Beeve just have a wee bit of extra, you know, considering obviously they were last year's champions. But fantastic result for Clyde Bank, and delighted for Moffat, Gordon Moffat, obviously the manager, and some of the players there, obviously Thomas Collins and that we know. So yeah, fantastic result, well done. I'm not too concerned with Beeve. I think they'll bounce back fairly quick. It's just a result coming back off. As I say, I think there was probably a wee bit of needle to that game having come off the cup game as well, and Beeve obviously coming out on top that one. So yeah. Certainly, mentality can change. Yeah, going into these games, if you played each other recently.
Yeah, I think the thing about Clyde Bank that stands out for me is that depth and squad that they have now that they probably didn't have last season. You just look at their starting the lineup from yesterday's game. Kieran Hughes, James Grant, Ocean McHugh, Matt Niven, Jamie Darroch, Lee Johnson, Lee Gallagher, Nicky Lowe, Thomas Collins, Joe Slattery, Nicky Little. Then you look at the bench, Larry McMahon, Adam Hodge, Callum Graham, Connor Kelly, Liam McGonigal, all sitting on the bench to come on and affect the game. You know, absolutely got depth in the squad. And I think that's the thing that Clyde Bank have. They've got like a front four of what Thomas Collins, Nicky Little, Callum Graham, Connor Kelly, Ben the Kekrin's out on loan at the moment as well, a youth player who's pretty decent, who can come back in. So yeah, very good sign. I think like Clyde Bank will do well as long as they can keep that consistency up. But I think you're right about Beeve. I don't think they'll be too concerned that it is a top of table clash against a big or a rival and challenging for the title and a good side. So, but Beeve are absolutely tremendous. I think the thing that stands out for me is that is Kieran Diver. Beeve, I think we talked a lot about losing Josh Fowler and whether or not he was going to, if they could replace him. Christian brought in Kieran Diver at the start of the season. I think he scored 21 goals or something like that already, and we're only in November. So, yeah, they've got the goal scorer that they need, and they've always had the players that can create chances for a kind of box-to-box or a box penalty box striker. So and that's what Kieran Diver is. I seen him last season against for Renfrew in the Strathclyde Demolition Cup, and I thought he looked excellent. Would have loved to have seen him at Buffs Park at the time, but yeah, he's obviously keeping Beeve at pace by just scoring as many goals as he can.
Just, I think it's important to know that he's totally different striker to Josh Fowler. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he still came into that squad, that Beeve squad, and yeah, I mean he's a big guy, obviously, as you mentioned. He's a sort of, you know, penalty box player, poacher type striker. But I've been really impressed with Kieran from what I've seen of him. But yeah, I think it is interesting that he's a very different to Josh Fowler. Good, really good for Beeve. But yeah, as I say, that's one of the reasons that you mentioned, Ben, that I'm not really worried for Beeve going forward. As you said, they've got a lot of games in hand as well, so. We'll just keep an eye on it, I guess.
We'll not go through the West of Scotland Premier League in mad detail, but one team we should talk about, Chris, Darvel. It seems like there is, how do we call it? Some going concerns at Darvel in relation to, it seems, finances. There was a statement put out last week regarding the finances. We have seen a number of key players leave just this week. Ian McShane and Thomas Riley both leaving Darvel. I don't want to come across here like we're gloating in something. We're not here to do that. I mean, I'm obviously involved in a West of Scotland club, but it seems like the money is drying up that we always talked about that allegedly wasn't there. In Darvel, that was always what was talked about. The money thing wasn't really being spent and stuff like that on players, but from the statement it was put out, it certainly suggests that that's the case. They've got to make a lot of changes, and I think it looks like if they're selling guys like Ian McShane, Thomas Riley, Alan McKenzie went on loan to East Kilbride, Scott Ferguson's left to go to East Kilbride as well. They're selling a position. I've heard rumours that Andy Leishman is probably going to go as well.
Max Talbot.
That's the rumour in the rumour mill. You know, that's a suggestion back to Talbot, which would make a lot of sense. Talbot crying out for a good quality keeper. I don't think they've got one at the moment. Personally, from what I've seen, and getting Andy, he's loved at the club. I think he'll probably have a slight blemish on his name for jumping ship to go to Darvel, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see him back there in the next couple of weeks. Certainly, massive concerns though for Darvel, Chris. You'd think.
Yeah, the statement that they put out, I've not looked back on Berwick's one, but to me it was like a copy paste of what Berwick said about the Scottish Cup money. Yeah, it's these clubs that are, I think it's really daft. You know, if you're relying on Scottish Cup money that you may or may not get, I think that's very, very, you know, it's a dangerous game. Darvel, we did wonder when Mick left if there was going to be changes there, financials. I think there was murmurs of, you know, John Gall wanting to make the club more self-sustainable. Obviously, he's put a lot of money in. It's one of those, Ben, that we say this all the time in terms of these, I guess, what we call money clubs and stuff like that. It doesn't last forever. And you're right, it's not lasted forever for Darvel. They've had some really good, I think if you look back on it, them not getting promoted to the Lone League, that might have changed things in terms of investment, because then they would have been closer to the SPFL, which is the majority of clubs, you know, financial avenues to one of the reasons they want to go up is because obviously the money's a lot better and whatnot. And I think you look back on Trinent beating them in the playoff, and yeah, I don't know if things would have been different if they did get promoted to the Lone League. Let's put it that way. But certainly we've heard for a wee while that the reins were coming in with what they were spending, especially after Mick leaving, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been suggestions that, and I'm going to come out and say it, allegedly Mick was supplying money into the club through his through sponsorship and things like that. I don't know if that's true. I don't know the ins and outs of Darvel well enough, but that's always, again, going back to rumours and things like that, that's been suggested. And certainly the timing of Mick leaving and the statement coming out definitely seems like it, to me, like it correlates. I think you noticed when Mick left and they were looking for a new manager and they looked around and there was names being rumoured that, I think Gary Holt was mentioned, Jamie Hamill was mentioned as potential candidates for the job. And they ended up with Tony McAnally, who had been out of the game for a few years and had some success as a manager, but probably quite an old-school manager, not the big kind of name and the Darvel project, as they always refer to it as, would have maybe wanted. And we always, I think, again, been candid and very honest about things. There wasn't a lot of fans at Darvel games. I think you got a lot of passing neutrals and a lot of people turning out for the big games and things like that they had, you know, the Scottish Cup matches and what have you, league winning matches, all that kind of stuff. But the bread and butter hardcore support was probably in around 100, and not a big support. If you look at other teams in the division, they're much better supported than that, you know, and that can't be sustainable for a club. Yeah, you can get sponsorship and things like that will help the club, but you can't rely on somebody pumping money into the club to go on a run. And the question probably is why were they doing that? why were they getting involved at Darvel? John Gall, obviously, is a very successful businessman in Ayrshire and has, for whatever reason, wanted to get involved. But it seems like now that things are changing and they've got to kind of try and get a bit more, get a better footing financially. And that's what they're doing. And I don't think you'll see the last of the moves. I think they've got a lot of players there that are probably on good money. And mentioned Andy Leishman, you probably look at Craig Moore, David Syme, just as some of the guys there that are quality players and probably again could walk into pretty much any club in the West of Scotland Premier League. And if they can't afford to pay the wages that have been suggested, that again, everything's all like rumour and conjecture a lot of the time. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Darvel will go. They could go into free fall. I think that would be my concern for Darvel, is that they could just absolutely plummet down the table if all these top quality players do move on. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on the Darvel thing. I think you see as well, I say, I'm not here to gloat. I think we're here to talk about football and have a conversation about what we think and what we expect to happen in different situations. And yeah, I'm just not shocked to see this happen. Yeah. Am I shocked it's happened so soon? Absolutely. I thought this had a few more years to go in terms of Darvel and what they were trying to do, but maybe it was only a 3-year project and the 3-year project is coming to an end maybe this year, you know. That's maybe where they're at. But yeah, it's a very developing situation, I think, at Darvel at the moment, which we'll keep an eye on.
In terms of the football, just to quickly add that Darvel had an excellent result in the Scottish Junior Cup yesterday as well. So I believe one of their goals broke the net or something, I heard. I think the Boof GIF or whatever was coming.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic result for Darvel. After a week where, you know, I think people have been a lot more critical than we have there, Ben, on Twitter. So, yeah, a massive relief in terms of the result there, I guess, in the Cup.
I guess one team that's benefiting from the Darvel situation is Gart Cairn. They picked up the E. McShane and Thomas Riley. Probably thinking to myself, I hope it doesn't go like Darvel. They're spending a lot of money at the moment, it seems. Yeah. They've brought in a lot of players. Again, don't know an awful lot about what's happened at Darvel. I know one of the owners. He's very passionate about Gart Cairn and what they're trying to do there. And certainly interesting to see that they do spend money and go and get top quality players. It's an interesting one. They're sitting sixth now, so they're actually doing all right. I didn't realise they were as high up the table as they were. So fair play to Gart Cairn. They'll, I'm sure, continue to buy players and maybe see more Darvel players arrive at Gart Cairn in due course, perhaps.
They had a quality team for when they were in the first division, and there was obviously, I'm guessing, money was spent for that team as well. But fantastic, obviously, the Thomas Riley signing. Thomas is a guy I know from Kelly, and he's a fantastic footballer, fantastic guy. I think you've often said that you wish you. You had him at Kilwinning, I guess. And, yeah,
he's a good Kilwinning man, and I'd love to see him playing for his hometown team, but maybe one day. Thomas will fancy it.
Am I saying that Mikey Dunlop's signed a new contract recently, I think?
Yeah.
Well-deserved, in my opinion, obviously, of the success of getting promoted. And that, as you said, they're doing really well in the West of Scotland. Whether they can ever be a top team, certainly if they make Ian McShane type, you know, Thomas Riley type signings, they can be, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to have, I mean, I don't know how big their crowds are and stuff like that, but certainly if they're in a situation where they're able to spend money and buy in players of that quality, then I don't think that'll be the last of it, personally. And that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on too. Not an awful lot to talk about elsewhere in the Premier League, I guess. Auckland Lake Talbot, we talk of them quite a bit. Still sitting kind of near the bottom on 12th at the moment. Having a very, like we've always said, transition type season where they're struggling a little bit to get going. They'll be focusing on staying up now, I think. There was concerns from the Talbots fan base about maybe going getting relegated, perhaps. But I think they'll have enough in them to stay up. I don't think I'm too worried about Auchinleck at the moment.
No, we've talked a lot about them. It's, you know, not even just this season, but last season. Can never discount them, obviously. I think this season, I don't think they're going to win much. I think it might be a season where they possibly win nothing, which is very rare for Talbot. Yeah. But it's one to look out for, to see what happens there. But certainly, we're talking about Andy Leishman possibly going back. He's always, you know, a Talbot legend. Going, if they can get him back in. I think you're right about the goalkeepers. Obviously, the guys they have in, like, they're on the younger side, whereas I think if you're playing, I think you need more experience. You need a keeper that, you know, Andy Leishman's a perfect example of a guy, you know, a leader. I think that's what they're missing, actually, a wee bit of leadership. I know they have some of the, you know, some of the old guards still there, obviously, like, say, Craig McCracken and stuff like that. But if you look up further up the pitch, they have lost a lot of pieces, yeah. I would say. It's a younger team for Talbot, which we're probably not used to seeing over the years. And I think they're all right. I think they're just a mid-table team at the moment. I'll be interesting to see what happens and you know, the seasons to come, but certainly they're just a mid-table team at the moment. But we never know. They could push. You know, what a signing like Andy Leishman could, I wouldn't say change their season as such, but certainly give them a boost, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a tall order if they do anything spectacular. They're obviously out of a couple of cups already this season too, and there's probably not a lot left to play for. And for Auchinleck, like Talbot, I know the Talbot fans lost this, will probably be gunning for us after that comment. But like, I think I'm being pretty honest and pretty truthful at the moment. Just quietly then, at the bottom of the table, it's Kirkintilloch, Rob Roy in 14th, Glenafton on 15th, and Irvine Meadow on 16th. I'll be as blunt as I can be here. I am not shocked to see those three teams at the bottom of the table. Did I think Rob Roy would probably be a little bit higher? Yeah. But Athlone are close by. And Auchinleck, Talbot, Antrim. There's only, something like 4 points separating the 7th to 14th at the moment, you know, so there's plenty to play for, but absolutely not surprised to see Glenafton and Irvine Meadow at the bottom of the table. Didn't rate Irvine Meadow, having played them in a Eglinton Cup match at the start of the season. Didn't think they were any great shakes. They seem to be losing players in their droves at the moment. People getting transfer listed and wanting to leave Irvine Meadow. I don't know what's going on down there. Glenafton, didn't rate them at all last season. Surprised from what I did see from them last season, and haven't seen any improvements since Mark Roberts took over the reins. Mark Roberts was involved at the club as assistant manager to Ryan Stevenson before he left, and it's not really changed at all. You know what I mean? It's just been the same old, and they're going to, I think they'll be down at the bottom for the rest of the season, I'm sure.
That was a shocker with Meadow, where Mark Waters obviously left, you know, vice-captain or whatever the club, but he's kind of been a mainstay at Meadow for longer than most of the other guys, I would say. So, I mean, to see him leave or have his contract mutually terminated or whatever, that is a wee bit concerning for the Meadow, I guess.
Not just a vice-captain, Kyle Fulmes, the club captain, also requested to be transferred. Transfer listed is also. He's
really
concerned. There's something going on there. There's obviously, yeah, we don't know enough about it, but there's something that stands out for me for sure. Moving on to the first division then, Rutherglen sit top on 23 points, from Chapel on 22 points. Blantyre Victoria on 22 points in third, Shottesbourne Accord on 21 and fourth. And down the bottom, it's Kilbonnie Leadside in 12th on 11, Cambus Lang on 11 points in 13th, Renfrew on 11 points in 14th, Nielsen on 9 points in 15th, and Whitley's on 3 points in 16th place. It's an interesting one, I think, in the first division. We're obviously sitting in 8th at the moment. We have, despite getting beat off Cowdenbeath, I think, won about 10 in the last 11 or something like that. So our form now. So the league's wide open, I think, in the first division, I would say, at the moment. It can be probably any team from, you look at it, maybe 9th up to 1st that can win that. I think we as a club, we're kind of really keen to just get promoted. I think that's the focus, is get promoted, get back up. If we win the league, lovely, be exciting, be great for the fans and the players and everyone connected. But certainly we just want to get promoted back to the Premier Division. That's the main focus. I think looking at our teams, Rotherham, surprise package for me for the start of the season. I think it's surprised to see them sitting top of the table. I think expect them to be pulling mid-table at the moment, but Trim Chapel, good side, some good players. And Blantyre, third. Seeing Blantyre yesterday to be beating them 4-0, I honestly shocked to see them sitting third on the table at the moment. I think it's probably by virtue of playing more games, but certainly an interesting one, Chris.
Yeah, I think what you all have to be worried about is your pal, Mr. Lafferty, coming back for Johnson Brough after Christmas, I believe. So,
we've been done there, right? So we've been absolutely done, right? So we were meant to play Johnson Brough next Saturday in the league, and Johnson Brough put a statement out saying that Kyle Lafferty had to go for surgery or something like that, and therefore won't be able to play till after Christmas or something like that.
Yeah.
We're looking at it going, all right, brilliant, Kyle Lafferty's not going to be playing. And then we find out that the Junior Cup second round took place on Saturday, just passed, and that the third round takes place on next Saturday. We're trying to catch the games up. So this nonsense rule that's in the West of Scotland Football League constitution and rules and things like that, that the Junior Cup can take precedence over league games is absolutely farcical, right? I'm going to be absolutely brutal and honest because... And if I get a hit for this as a club official making a comment about it, then I'll take the hit and I'll pay the fine myself. Like, absolutely no okay with that because I think it's a nonsense. I fully, firstly, respect the Junior Cup and that the teams want to play in that. We, as a club, don't want to play in that. We're not interested in that for various reasons. But I'm fine with a weekend being left free for the Junior Cup and idle fixtures being put in to replace it. But I'm not okay with the two consecutive rounds in a row being played. Because there was potential yesterday that we might not have the game next Saturday because of the Junior Cup. Now, keep the Junior Cup spot free, fine. But you can't have it 2 weeks in a row. So we are now going to play Johnson Brough probably in January or something like that. And Kyle Lafferty will be back fit and he'll score a hat-trick. No my luck.
I honestly didn't know I was going to start something there. I just knew that.
Yeah, you got me there. You got me, Chris. And I say, I'll absolutely take the hit. If I've said something that's out of line and it's against the rules, I'll take the hit. But what I will say is, I will appeal it and I'll fight it to the death because West of Scotland board members also make comments on social media and football forums, shall we say. And that, to me, contravenes one of the rules in the West Scotland Football League. And if I've contravened a rule here, then we will absolutely fight fire with fire. I can assure you of that. But yeah, Chris, you've absolutely homed that a can of worms there. Absolute classic grenade. But
I just noticed the statement from, obviously, Johnson Brough at the time saying, you know, about Kyle, the same thing that you mentioned. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, well, I think we'll leave that there for the moment. Looking at some of the other divisions just quickly across the board. In the second division, Ardrossan Wynton Rovers are sitting top on 30. Cumberland United are on 26. Villa Clyde on 22. At the bottom, it is Glasgow Perthshire on 11, Wishaw on 9, and Glasgow Uni on 6. I'm just going to say it right now, Ardrossan Wynton Rovers, I think I called it.
Yeah, you did. You did. I did notice something, obviously you mentioned another team on the other end of the spectrum there, Glasgow Uni not doing too well. But I did notice... Obviously, Mark Adams, he tweeted something out that there's improvements there, but, you know, they're basically not going to throw in the towel, and I wouldn't expect them to. Mark Adams, known him from kind of Stirling Uni days, he was never that guy to be defeatist or, pessimistic. So, yeah, good to see that. They're struggling a wee bit in that league, but, Ardrossan are a really good side from the top end, but, yeah, looking at the bottom end, not great for some teams, but not totally unexpected, I guess. I don't know what we call it. I don't know if we went bottom kind of further down the league, so who would be in the bottom?
Yeah,
I know we did for the Prem. Pretty sure I might have had Ben Burbin there, but they've been fantastic. So
moving on to the third division then, Bells Hill sit top on 26, Arran Victoria on 21, Greenock Juniors on 19, Glasgow United on 18, and down the bottom it's West Park on 9, Port Glasgow on 7 and Kelly Rovers on 16. I think surprise package for me there, Bells Hill, Chris, I think, have made massive improvements over the summer and are going great guns, not lost a game this season.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at initially at their team, I thought they would do well, but certainly not top of the league unbeaten. Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, fair play to the guys there. I think when we look further down the divisions, it's harder to for information, I guess, sometimes. And but yeah, Bells Hill are one of the clubs I think that we have on Twitter. Sometimes they come up, sometimes they don't. Basically, yeah, this is why I have lists basically for all the different leagues, because
love them, they're great, yeah. They're useful.
Hard to keep track of otherwise, but certainly we try our best. But yeah, fantastic for these lads there. In terms of the kind of near the bottom, I'm not sure I would have expected, you know, Kilo to be at the bottom. Like,
nah, I think they've struggled over the last couple of years. I think they struggle to attract players. I think that's their biggest problem. And where they're based, location-wise, I think they stayed in the division just kind of by the skin of their teeth last season. They brought in a few of, actually some Buffs under-20s players went and played there for the last half a season.
I remember.
Helped them stay up, you know, in a lot of ways, I think. But I think Sam North actually went to one of their games, I think last week or the week before, and did a video and kind of talked about how they're kind of struggling a wee bit. It's worth probably a watch if you want to see more about Kello. But yeah, not a lot to talk about in terms of when you, as you go far down. And just briefly, we'll cover off the fourth division. It's Glenvale on 31, St. Peter's on 25, Giffnock on 24. And at the bottom is Royal Albert on 7, Easter House on 6, and Salkirk's Victoria on 3. I think the one thing that stands out for me in the fourth division, Chris, is Glenvale, St. Peter's, Giffnock, and then you'd even argue Thorne and Knightswood and Rossvale. They're all these kind of youth academy clubs that are doing pretty well. They seem to have got some decent quality players and getting results and doing well in their kind of first couple of seasons in the West Scotland Football League pyramid. So that's the thing that I can stand it. I obviously keep a close eye on what Eglinton are up to, because they're obviously a co-winning team. They play at the same place as ourselves and kind of get a bit more exposure to the fourth division than I probably would the other divisions in the West of Scotland. But in terms of the bottom, I'm surprised to see Carluke down there. I think they're sitting 13th at the moment, certainly. Shocked to see that. But the one I'm not shocked about is Salkirk's Victoria. They are rotten. They are struggling big time. And have done for years. They're a club that haven't really changed and really struggled. And again, Sam North has given him a very good plug this week. He's done a few videos down at Salkirk's now. I think he's just about moved into Salkirk's, the way he's been. He's done like three games or something this season, twice down at the actual Victoria Park and one on the road. So yeah, they're struggling. They need wholesale changes at the club to kind of make a big difference. But yeah, that kind of pretty much rounds up the fourth division. And that probably rounds up the podcast. This is the return episode. We will be back next week, hopefully with everything around the pyramid. Remember, get us on Twitter at The Official Catch Up. Get us on all your podcast platforms, like, subscribe, do all that good stuff on YouTube too. It means the world to us. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it makes our podcast look better and improves everything. And we get a bigger reach and a bigger following. And that's all we want, really, from the podcast situation. But until next week, have a good one. Cheers.